This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life. And this week and next week, shows are going to be recorded here in Finland, which is where I am right now, in Helsinki, at a radio studio here. And Finland is one of the most beautiful countries I've ever been privileged to visit. So there's evergreen trees all over the place, ash trees too. It's like being in a mountain paradise without being in the mountains. There's only 6 million people here in this country, so the population is very spread out except for Helsinki, and it's just a beautiful place to be in. And they even have a Santa Claus village up in Lapland at the north side of the country, and if you Google that, you'll see the pictures of that Santa Claus village, and that's probably as close to the real thing as you're ever going to get. They have reindeers here, and they actually sell reindeer in the grocery store. So it's a blessing to be here, and I have with me Aura Elliott. She is part of our ministry partner team here in Finland, and so welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Mike. Pleasure to be here.
So as we were driving up, you were sharing with me some statistics about porn use in Finland, and Finland is known as the happiest country in the world.
Exactly, yeah, that's correct.
So is there an issue with porn here in Finland?
Well, the statistics that I have right here in front of me are 10 years old. And there are more recent statistics as well, but I couldn't find them right now. But these statistics from 2015 say that, and this is not a Christian study, this is a secular study, they say that at the age group of 18 to 44 year olds, males who have been watched porn during the past year is 90%, and 50% of the females say that they watched porn during the past year. And if we look at the statistics 10 years prior to that, the statistics or the price, it was 70% of males and 20% of the females had watched porn during the past year. So the amount of women who watch porn has grown a lot. And yeah, and I recently read a news article where it said that about 80% of the men are watching porn regularly, and about 50% of women are watching porn regularly.
And did you have another more recent study, if I remember right?
Yes, that recent study said that 50% of the women and about 80% of the men are watching porn regularly.
That was the recent study. And what do you see here going on in the church here locally? Are we talking openly about sexual issues?
No, we're not. It's not a favorite topic and not talked about a lot, and kind of a topic that, yes, you can talk about it hush-hush at the foyer somewhere in the secret corner maybe, but not openly in front of people. It's so shameful and guilt-ridden topic that a lot of people don't want to admit that they struggle with it. I recently talked with a friend who got saved 3 years ago, and he has a background, a rough background, and he's an ex-convict. And he said that, you know, I'm so naive that, you know, when I came out from that background and I got saved, I didn't think that any believer has an issue with these kind of topics. Because they are in the faith and they have renewed their life and they have a new life in Christ. I didn't think that anyone would actually struggle if they know Christ.
Well, I know my own backstory when I was attending churches and struggling, and I didn't hear about sexual issues or pornography or masturbation. I was assuming that I was just a freak or a pervert or a one-off.
Yes. I think that's probably what many who are struggling think, because they think that, you know, I'm alone. I think recently, maybe a few times when you hear a sermon, or at least in those churches where I've visited or attend, the pastor might have mentioned that, you know, you can, when they talk about repentance and struggling with sin, they might shortly touch the issue of just mentioning sexual sin shortly, and that's it. And then they go on to talk about other topics. In my own congregation, I attended a meeting for the couples. It was also meant to be for those who are courting. You could go with your spouse or alone. And I spoke with a man who was leading it with his wife, and he's one of the elders. And he said that we have very eloquent, nice sermons at church on Sundays. And the preachers who are delivering the sermons, you know, they're very well educated, and you know, it's an eloquent message, but we're lacking the message of repentance. There's nothing about the fact that even if you are saved, that you still have to repent daily, and you still have to ask for forgiveness for anything, not just for sexual sin, or that you're lusting after whatever you're lusting after, but on the whole, that we don't talk about that.
As you're talking, what's coming to my mind is John the Baptist. He was brought up in the desert. He had no seminary, no Bible college, no nothing, and Jesus called him the greatest man who had ever lived up to that point. He did no miracles, but what he did is he really punched it hard when it came to sin.
Yes, and I think that that's what we need nowadays, because oftentimes we think that, you know, I'm saved and, you know, here I am, you know, my life is pretty good, you know, it's just smooth sailing. But we don't realize that it's not just about that I'm flat on my face because I watch porn, or I'm two-timing my spouse, or I'm lusting after somebody who's walking on the street. But I might be angry or bitter or gossiping or unforgiving, and that's what we should repent of. Because, or I'm not patient, or not very persevering under suffering. And those are all the things that we should repent of, so that we could demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. I recently also spoke with a friend. Well, to backtrack a bit, we were in the U.S. for about a month with my husband and our daughter. sending our daughter off to U.S. to work and study there and to meet with in-laws and other family members. And then coming back, I visited some friends and we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the things that she said was that, I think it is so sad that people who are not demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit in their daily walk with Christ, even if they are, they might be in ministry, they might be serving as elders at church, or even pastors or pastors' wives, or vice versa if it's a female pastor, but you know, they don't demonstrate the behavior that we should have and demonstrate as followers of Christ. Hence, we as believers, if we don't demonstrate those things, that we are disturbing or destroying the whole Christianity, or the picture that people have about Christianity and about Christians. And it kind of stopped me that, you know, I don't want to be a hindrance to someone not to follow God and not to be, or someone who doesn't want to follow Christ because someone who says that they follow Christ are behaving the opposite way.
Well, as you're talking, what I'm thinking about is prayer, because when I'm alone with God for an extended period of time, and some of that time is in His Word, His Word can have a very cleansing, sometimes convicting, sometimes challenging effect. And if we're going to have time alone with God in silence, you really can't get away from that too far without coming to face-to-face with, he starts pointing his finger on things like you were bitter to that person, you were struggling with lust of that person, or pride or anger or whatever it is, but soaking in the Word and soaking in prayer especially and listening to Him. And I think I saw a statistic on a survey recently on a website that said the average Christian prays 5 minutes a day.
That's very little.
And how can you have communion with God with 5 minutes a day? How can you have that connection we're started with on 5 minutes a day?
Yeah, we enter into covenant when we get saved. It's a covenant with God, and the same way as with the marriage covenant. And how can you be close or hear, understand what the other person says if you only spend 5 minutes with that person per day? It's like a neighbor at the apartment building that you say hi when you pass by in the crossing in the yard. But and we are supposed to pray constantly. Like, it should be like breathing to us, that we converse with God and that we hear from the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying that, you know, I always do that. I don't. But what I try to do, that, you know, when I'm walking outside, I run a daycare and I'm a teacher there besides leading the facility. And when I go outside with the kids, I often try to, when I'm out in the nature with the kids, and we take nature walks every day and stuff, that, you know, I'm taking it as a habit to, you know, thank God and praise God for what He's done when I see the, you know, His creation and how wonderfully He's made it. And then it helps to start thinking about God more, and to just, you know, you're able to worship and praise God when you start that consciously, start doing that. And and I think it's also good to, even if, you know, you have a habit. I started this program for reading the Bible in the mornings, and it just has one or two verses, you know, for the day. But oftentimes I find myself that, oh, oops, it's already half an hour. I'm still reading the word because I so much get into it and that I can't stop. The two verses is not enough. But I think that it's good to develop those kind of good habits so that then we hear what God says and then we also remember what he says so that during the day when we come to these conflicts or happy moments in at work or with family or with kids or whatever, that, you know, we remember what he says in his word, or he reminds us that hey, now you're getting agitated, but, you know, what do I say? What's the right thing to do in this situation?
Let's circle back around to talking openly about sexual issues. And I know that you know from experience that the enemy throws a fit when we start trying to openly talk about sexual sin, pornography, masturbation, adultery. And because in the end, we're really talking to people who are in bondage. And you read those numbers at the very beginning, and there are a lot of people in bondage. And in the days leading up to when I came here, you and your husband Jeff went through some warfare, didn't you?
We did, yes, definitely. I was feeling nauseated and really sick to my stomach and had bad ache in my head and my neck and my lower back and something that's not typical, even though I suffer from few medical issues. And then we had nightmares and things were breaking down. My husband runs a business, and then we just hired a new person, and it was his first day at work, and he was opening a lock and the whole lock broke up. And it's just things like that to frustrate and throw a curveball at you. So, you know, this new worker said, you know, I'm so sorry, you know, I'm messing up. And he was starting to be frustrated and thinking that, you know, maybe I should have not taken this job and anything. And I said, you know, don't worry. You know, we have this thing coming up this weekend. This is normal. Just relax. But we need to pray. And because he's in the faith, so I could tell him this. And I said, we just need to pray for this day more. And then after the first night that Jeff was having all these nightmares and he had these really bad demonic attacks, he was howling in his sleep and he was kicking and hitting me and everything began horrible things bombarding him. And of course, we prayed a night and I was, you know, trying to stop him and wake him up and things like that. And I just said, you know, we just have to battle some more and fight this thing. So we sat down in the evening and started praying and breaking the demonic influence and whatever hindrances could come to our way, and claiming the truths from God's word and claiming our identity in Christ, and how, you know, the enemy has no right to come and mess with our minds or mess with our sleep. And
And he can and does mess with us physically too, like what you experienced, right?
Yes, definitely does. And even though you might think that, oh, it's a technical thing, oh, but these things happen. My family is also involved in Christian publishing, and many times when it's time to publish the magazine or, you know, something like that, you know, all the machines stop working and there are all kinds of weird things happening to the machines. And then when they pray and they claim, bang, it's working nicely with no fixing up or no service guy coming in. So it's definitely spiritual.
So do you think that's the enemy's way of saying, no, do not talk about sexual issues. No, do not go there.
Of course it is. You know, you start feeling like, you know, what's the point in doing this? Or, people are canceling the appointments, or it's difficult to book the venue or whatever, or they, you know, everything is lined up and then they call you, oh, sorry, you know, there was a mistake about the dates, or, oh, I'm so sorry, you can't have this. Excuse me. So, you know, he wants to discourage you and he wants you to quit.
So the hard question we have to ask, Aura, is every church that is avoiding these issues of the sexual sin that is so prevalent, are they not talking about them or equipping people or helping them in these issues? Or are they partnering up with the wrong side?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And we need to talk about that and fight it in prayer, but also telling people that there's hope and that there are things that you can do and how you can fight it in the spirit and also practically speaking, and what you need to look into when you are tested and when you are tempted, that you can trust that, you know, there's no temptation allowed without God providing you a way out, but also that you need to really look into your own heart, that where does it come from? Why do you turn into porn? And studies, both Christian and secular fields who have studied this issue, they say that when you turn into porn, there are always three things behind it. There's either a trauma or abuse, or you haven't, you don't have the right emotional connection when you were a child, or it's a habit and you got hooked when you were a young person. So you have to address that issue according to the right root. Where does it come from? Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to help people with.
And then, of course, there's a spiritual battle. We have an enemy who wants to get us hooked on that stuff.
Exactly.
So I went through a lot of war for myself in the days and nights leading up to this. A lot of it was really tough. And I found myself wondering, what the heck? Why am I going through this? And then I get here, and last night we talk, and you and Jeff are going to be, we're going to be working on launching Blazing Grace Finland.
Yes, finally.
Which is going to be a ministry partner here for us, mm-hmm. where you will be ministering to the sexually broken in the church here in Finland. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's fantastic. And I want to ask our listeners to pray for Jeff and Aura, because as you've just heard, the spiritual battle is very intense and very real. And no matter what country you're from, as you're listening to this, prayer is needed, and we need to bust open these doors and break these strongholds, and they're not going to be happy. This isn't going to happen by backing down or shying away or trying to sweep the problem under the rug. So, Aura, we've got 2 minutes left. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on all this, what we've talked to you about today?
I think that it's once you find the freedom, and of course, it's not like you won't be tempted ever after that, but it's just, it liberates you to enjoy the fullness of what God has for you. And it truly enables you to live a happy life. And of course, it's exciting what's happening. It's scary at the same time, you know. Do we recognize the battle and to take the right battle axe to fight? But yeah. But I'm excited that we can help people through our own experiences and what we've learned in this area.
And so the next step for us is we're going to start building a website and finish on the Blazing Grace content and the articles. And there's a cost to all this. So I would like to ask you to consider supporting us financially. We're a nonprofit 501c3. So we could help use your help in this regard. We also, like I mentioned before, could use prayer. So, Aura, another minute. Anything you want to say?
I just feel very humbled and privileged that we can step into this ministry role and do our own small part in helping people in this part of the world.
Mm-hmm. All right, my friends, thank you for joining us. And thank you for joining us in this battlefield we call life, as I mentioned at the beginning of our programs. And we enjoy hearing from you and with your comments, so please reach out. Remember, we offer groups, counseling, and quite a few of my books. I've written 9 books for men and wives, couples. So reach out if you need help. So thank you for joining, my friends, and we'll see you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org, email us at email@blazinggrace.org, or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.